Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, the former face of junior college baseball, the Fall American, Johnny Junta. And we're here with a special guest, man. He's a man that is absolutely carving in AAA for the Philadelphia Phillies. It's my pleasure to welcome Mike Adams to the Officially Unofficial Podcast. How are we doing, brother?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
It's a you're carving. I mean, every time I look on Twitter, I see, and if you just search the name Mike Adams, it's Phillies fans pretty much begging for you to be in the show. But before we get into that, let's go into where you started at, man. You're from Staten Island, and we got to settle the beef here. Were you a Yankee fan growing up?
Yeah, I'm actually from South Jersey, so I was a Phillies fan growing up.
Okay, so we're fine.
Yeah, so yeah, we're good there.
I don't know why it says in your bio you're born, so you're not born in Staten Island.
Yeah, I'm from South Jersey, like right outside of Atlantic City, but I went to Wagner College, which is in Staten Island.
And going into Wagner College, I mean, that football team, what are we doing there? I mean, I don't know if you saw the score on the weekend. I mean, I think they lost by 1,000.
Hey, well, when we were there, I wasn't even sure that we even had a football team.
It's impressive.
We would go to the games and would try to, root for them as much as possible. But, the field's pretty small and all that kind of stuff. So
would you say like Wagner's a baseball school then? Like, do you guys, is your guys getting drafted out of there?
In the last couple of years, yeah, we've had a lot of talent that's been coming out of there. I mean, our record as far as, performance on the field and results isn't always great. We've definitely had some really talented guys coming through there and some guys that are, working their way up, through the minors right now, which is pretty cool.
So growing up though, did you kind of see yourself, obviously you always dreamed about being a big leaguer, but did you think in your wildest dreams you'd be a guy in AAA right now, like the level closest to the show with a sub 2.5 ERA, like a sub 2.3 ERA? Like, is this exceeding the expectations you had for yourself?
I mean, I would, if you told me this a year ago that I'd be in AAA at all, I would have told you that, you're out of your mind. But yeah, I mean, as far as that, I mean, I always saw myself as wanting to play professional baseball, and out of college, I didn't really, get that opportunity at all, other than a little bit of indie ball. So, I mean, being in AAA right now is definitely, I'm pretty happy with how it's going so far.
And you're playing with, and I always talk about this guy on the show, a legend of the game, a guy that's a friend of the podcast, that's a guy that I said I risked my life for, Taylor Guerrero, TG. What's my boy TG like, man? I mean, this guy, we always talk about him on the show when we had Donnie Walton on, but I need to get your perspective on a guy that's playing with him in the Phillies org.
Oh, geez, the man. We actually, last Monday, we played 36 holes on the off day. So G's awesome. Though. He's a good dude. We went to the casino a couple of times, lost some money, but now G's the man.
And he's such a legend.
Oh, he is. He's been on here before?
Yeah, no, that's my guy, man. That's my guy. Like, I mean, he actually wears the shirt that I'm wearing a lot. I don't know if he wears it there, but when he posts pitching videos on Instagram, he's wearing the shirt. He's repping the brand. So he's a big official guy, but he's a stick on the golf course. I mean, there's just no beating around. The guy's a freak.
No, he's good. He's really good. Makes no mistakes out there, which is, tough to follow because I'm a big, I like to hit it far and maybe left or right, and he's down the middle every time.
So I want to give it, like, give me a description about what it's like golfing with TG. Like, is he a guy that plays loose? Because I'm going to be playing with him in the off season. So is he a guy that plays loose, or is he just like dialed in, like reading shots, all this kind of shit? Like you're playing with Phil Mickelson or something?
No, yeah, he's a good guy to play with. He's not too serious. Like you're going to joke around and have some fun out there. You know, it's not like a round where it's not going to be fun. You're not going to enjoy yourself. Playing golf with G is fun. It's a good time.
Just mention my name to TG. I mean, he's my guy. But and then that golf course you guys played at last week, I mean, is that just the greatest course of all time? What's it called?
It's called
Lee Valley Golf Club.
Yeah, Lehigh Country Club.
Lehigh Country Club.
Actually, an old teammate I played with in Indy Ball was the ground screw guy there. So we went over there last week and played. Yeah, it's had some of the coolest holes I've ever played.
So how many strokes has TG given you? Like if you guys are playing match play here.
I only played with him one time. I think he shot like an 82 and I shot like an 86.
Damn.
So yeah, he played really well. And that was like a struggle for him, I think. So he's definitely given me a few.
No, he told me he's like hasn't been playing that much, so he's been rusty. So he's shooting like low 80s, high 70s, which is just something I'd like risk a limb for. So it's just it's impressive. I mean, the guy's just a legend. But you guys have a lot of good guys on that team. I think you guys have Mickey Moniak. Is he in the show now?
Moniak, yeah. He golfed with us that day as well. Yeah, Moniak's the man.
I played call to them actually one time. I was playing with Bryson Stoddard and he joined us. He's a legend, dude. He's funny as hell, man. I mean, and for how much that guy gets roasted on Twitter by Phillies fans for no reason, he's just such a good dude. It's actually crazy.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve the roasting at all. But yeah, no, Moniak's a man, and he's having a really good year this year too.
It's actually crazy. I mean, if you look at the journey that you've had, it's fucking insane. I mean, you didn't get drafted out of college, correct? And then you go to Indy Ball. You're in Indy Ball last year, I believe, or the year before, and then now you're just in AAA. It's literally one of the craziest stories of all time. So when you were playing in Indy Ball, were you just like, man, this is like, did you ever have a thought where it's like, man, this is it for me, or were you just kind of like, what was your thought process when you were there?
Yeah, I mean, after, you know, my first year in Indy Ball, which I only played half the year because I went the year after college, so that was, you know, 2016. After that first year, I was like, you know what, maybe I really like training guys and kind of being on the coaching side a lot. And I was like, maybe that's, you know, what I'm going to do. I need to kind of find a niche there and find a path that way and be able to help out more guys and their careers instead of my own. Just because I was like, all right, I don't have good numbers, you know. I'm small. I'm not throwing that hard. Maybe it's time to kind of find another path. And that's basically what happened. And I was basically doing that and training guys at the facility that I have. And then I just kind of woke up one day and was throwing a lot harder. The comeback wasn't planned at all. Like it was the farthest thing from being planned. It was like a couple of my buddies and a couple of guys I work with, you know, kind of convinced me to go to this workout. And I threw really well, and then I ended up here. So it was pretty, you know, pretty unplanned. Like I didn't really train for it that much, kind of thing, which was wild.
So you're like a younger version of Bull Durham. I mean, so you went to a workout, and how hard did you throw at the workout?
I was throwing like 98. Yeah.
Without even training, you're just throwing like 98 fucks.
I mean, I was like always trying to figure out how guys throw 100 and I always wanted to throw 100, like, but it wasn't like people would always ask, like, why don't you go back and play? I'm like, no one wants me. Like I have men's league stats. Like I don't have any good pro ball or college numbers ever. Like I'm 26. It's COVID year, the most impossible year to ever get signed. I'm like, there's literally no chance that I get signed. And then I ended up getting signed, which is crazy. But yeah, I was just basically trying to copy guys that throw 100, exactly what they do. Ended up copying it pretty well, I guess, and trying to teach it to some of the guys that we had. And then I was really throwing like that in men's league. I didn't know how hard I was throwing until one of my buddies came down to the game and gunned it. He was like, "Yo, you're throwing 97 in like the third inning." Like, wow, really? And then from there on, that's like kind of how I got convinced to go to the workout and got signed.
Dude, that's insane. So, I mean, so when you were playing in this men's league, I'm assuming you were just facing bums. Like these guys were looking at 97, like what the fuck is this guy throwing? Like what was your stats there? Do you have like a sub one ERA or what's the deal?
Yeah, my stats in men's league were like, I mean, I don't know if I lost a game in a couple of the years there. Like, I punch out almost 10 every game. But I mean, the men's league that I played in, we had a lot of guys that, you know, played college baseball or just got done pro ball. So it was actually a pretty competitive men's league. Like, I mean, I would guys would hit the ball. Like, I mean, and I would go out there and throw like 120 pitches a game. So, you know, in like the third, fourth, fifth inning, I'm throwing like 85 now because I don't really, you know, I was really training for it. But yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, my men's league stats were pretty good. I mean, we won the championship a couple of years, you know, I would just pitch on a Friday. And then if we needed to, I'd pitch again on like a Sunday. So it'd be like, it was kind of one of those things where like, I was pretty careless in my arm. But I mean, that's kind of where I started to have fun again. So I'm so thankful for those years there.
So were guys in the men's league like saying to you, man, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, why aren't you in like an organization or something like that?
Yeah, definitely at first. I mean, they were like even when I came out at Indy Ball, like, oh, this guy's coming out of Indy Ball and he's coming to men's league. Like, we really got to face this guy. And then all of that kind of stuff. Like, there's a couple times during COVID when I, you know, I was coaching like a travel baseball team and we went to a different state and then I would come back and not do my suggested quarantine and teams would, you know, cry about it and, yeah, and complain. And it was a mess and teams would do a lot of stupid stuff just to try to, you know, avoid facing me. But it was a fun league.
So that's electric. I mean, so when did you find out that like the Phillies are going to sign you, or how did that even, like, obviously after the workout, but when did you actually were like, damn, I actually might be signing with an organization here? Like, at what point?
Right after I threw, my phone was, you know, I was getting some traction. And then, you know, my agent was like, dude, you know, I'm pretty sure you're definitely going to get signed. But I actually got, like, I threw at probably 2 o'clock and I was, you know, I signed at probably 10 o'clock. it didn't really happen that day, but, we actually had a guy from our facility got signed by the Phillies out of high school that summer. And I was like, you know, like at his, you know, signing party, and then the scout that signed him, and then it happened to be that same scout that signed him ended up signing me. So I like knew him just as recommending guys for them to look at. And he ended up signing me that same night. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, right after I threw, I drove up with a couple guys that also work at the facility, and basically everyone was getting calls about, you know, signing, and I had a decent amount of offers. But once, you know, the Phillies were the first one to offer, and I jumped on that right away.
Well, I mean, being a guy that was a Phillies fan growing up is a little bit like biased. So obviously you signed the Phillies, but were the Jays knocking on the door? Like, they were.
All right. One of the teams. Yeah.
Okay. So you could have been actually pitching in Toronto. We could have been really close to each other if you decided to sign with the Blue Jays, but no, I mean, that's insane. So the Phillies were the first team to knock on the door. So you obviously went there, but, and the Phillies, and credit to you also, you just skipped Double-A. Like, you just skipped like six levels in your minor league career. You didn't play rookie ball. You didn't play low A. You I believe you played high A, is that correct? And then you skipped Double-A, and then you're just in Triple-A. So you've literally played only at two levels. So you and Bryce Harper have something in common, I guess, when you make it to the show. But has Philly fans been like reaching out? Like, do you ever search the Twitter stuff and see what Phillies fans are saying? Like, why isn't this guy in the show? Like, do you ever search that stuff?
I don't search it, but you know, I go on Twitter all the time, and obviously just being a Phillies fan, I follow like all the Phillies beat writers and all that stuff, and I see like the stuff they tag me in and stuff all the time. So it's kind of funny to hear it, and to read some of the stuff, because I know, like, as much as, you know, as much as they want people up there, like, you go up there and the first game you throw bad, like, they hate you that fast too. So it's kind of crazy to see it, to kind of be involved in it.
Yeah, dude, Phillies fan, and you obviously know it firsthand. I mean, Phillies fans are
rough,
are insane. Like, I mean, they booed at one point, or obviously not at one point, but they literally booed Bryce Harper. Yeah. Like, they don't give a shit.
They threw snowballs at Santa Claus too.
So yeah, no, they really don't give a shit. So you're a Bear, you're an Eagles fan too, is that correct? Yeah. I mean, that's just a nightmare.
I'm diehard all Philly sports.
So I mean, you're one of those guys the fans are gonna be rooting for. I mean, you're literally through and through a Phillies guy, like, plain and simple. So how hard is it being an Eagles fan?
I mean, if I'm a diehard any fan, it's definitely the Eagles. I mean, right now, with the whole Wentz situation, it is pretty tough. But I got some confidence in Jalen Hurts for sure. I mean, especially the rumblings coming out of camp this year. So I drafted him in every fantasy league I have. So I'm on the Hurts train hard. I was also on the Wentz train though too, and that backfired a little bit. But yeah, I'm definitely an absolute diehard Eagles fan.
True. I can respect that. I could definitely respect that. So at what point this year, when you were throwing, did you at what point did your stuff feel the best this year? Like, was it when you're in AAA? Cause in low and high A, you obviously had a good stretch there, but you struggled for some part of it. But now it's just, you're literally putting up video game numbers. I mean, 2.67 ERA in AAA is bananas. So at what point did that kind of feel like you were buzzing in AAA?
I guess, you know, maybe the third or fourth outing, you know, I got the first one out of the way. And then I threw a couple good ones in a row. And then I had a stretch there where I was throwing the ball pretty well. And that's probably where I felt the best at, is right in the middle there. Just kind of trying to ride that out and continue. It's kind of crazy because, in Jersey Shore, in high A, you know, we were throwing maybe once a week just because we had so many guys there. So I got here and, you know, had a couple good ones in a row. And next thing you know, we don't have as many bullpen arms up here. So, you know, you would get two or three outings a week, which is awesome, especially when you're throwing the ball well, just to be able to continue off that.
No, it's, I mean, and the fact that like, it's not a joke. I mean, fans roast the Phillies bullpen all the time. So it just gives them a little glimmer of hope seeing you just have a 2.67 in AAA. And that team you're playing for, I mean, I got to tip my cap. I mean, their social media is electric. They literally pump your tires till no end. So it's just incredible shit. But what I heard, that stadium's also electric too. Is that true? Like, it's just an unreal facility?
Yeah, Lehigh Valley is a really good AAA setup. I mean, we'll get 8,000 to 10,000 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We had a down Saturday, and it was like 8,900, which is awesome. But the stadium's a really good setup. Like, the gameplay and how everything's run here is awesome. They treat us really well. Like, you know, we have so many jerseys and just constant. There's constantly stuff going on. So it's you know, one of the coolest places I've played.
So what's going on with the number? Like, is that your number now, 43? Like, what's the deal there? I mean, we need a little bit more of a show number, like a closer number, or even like a 32 maybe. Like, what's going on with the number? Is that your number?
No, not at all. I honestly, I'm not a fan of 43, but I got here and they gave it to me. And, you know, it was every guy after me got numbers worse than that too. So I was like, you know what, I'll just stick with it. And it's just a hassle for them to kind of change it. So I'm just going to ride it out for this year and then, hopefully go. I was 26 in spring training and I was like a huge Chase Utley fan. So that would be the number that I would go with. But yeah, 43, not a fan, but we'll ride it out.
So what's the deal here? I mean, what number is TG? Does he have a bad one too?
He's 21.
He's 21
number. Yeah.
That's a good number. That's a really good number. Yeah. But I don't know if you could be 26 though. I mean, you would be actually putting your balls on the table saying I'm the next Chase Utley kind of legend here in Philly if I'm number 26. Like, I don't know if you could do that, right?
I don't know. I'm sure that'll get retired at some point.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's an unreal look. You got to respect it. It's like Manoa being number six for the Blue Jays, like over, like taking over Marcus Stroman. But yeah. I mean, the number 43, honestly, it doesn't look that bad though on the mound. Like, in some of the jerseys, it looks kind of electric.
Yeah, I mean, it's wearing on me a little bit, but I don't want to say that I'm going to stick with it for a while.
Yeah, no, you got to switch it up, but you're doing so well.
They just give you a number when you get to every level, so I don't know how much of a choice I'm going to have anyway.
And you missed the Unreal Field, though. I mean, playing at Reading, that field looks electric. What is it called? Baseball City or something like that?
Baseball Town, yeah. I've heard a ton of stories about that. You know, obviously, it's – you know, they pack the stadium out. There's some like diehard Phillies fans that live around there. So, and I know that they get a lot of fans, and the fans are kind of on top of you, and it's like a bandbox stadium, so balls are flying out everywhere. So I'm not too upset that I missed that one, but it would have been pretty cool to see.
I feel bad for Bryson, man. I mean, Bryson, when he's there, he's literally a celebrity. Like, I think he told us he has to leave with security around him because people are literally swarming this dude like he's the Beatles or some shit.
Oh, I'm sure there's like after games, fans like, you know, kind of wait outside the door of the locker room and like they want you to sign stuff, even at away stadiums. And nobody knows who I am. So, I mean, I can't imagine being like, you know, someone that's a prospect that's walking out of stadiums, and especially one like that.
And is the beard staying? Like, because I've seen pictures of you without the beard, but you're carving with the beard. So is that a thing now? Like, are you a big beard guy?
The beard's definitely staying. I mean, if I don't have this, I look like a 12-year-old kid. So that's definitely going to be a staple.
And honestly, and one of the things that I have to respect about you, you're just putting on for short kings like me. Like, you're putting on for the short guys that are just maybe get chirped a little bit for not being the tallest of all time. So I just got to tip my cap to you. I mean, do some guys that are taller that obviously throw slower than you look at you like, man, fuck this guy. Like, this guy is whatever. He's short. He's shorter than me, and he's throwing 98 fuzz pain in the black. Like, do some pitchers look at you and say, man, what the fuck's your problem?
I'm sure they look. I mean, because that's one of the things people are like, ah, you know, taller guys can throw harder, shorter guys can't. You know, I'm sure some of the guys are like, yeah, this doesn't add up. But I kind of love being that little guy. Like, people kind of expect absolutely nothing out of you. You know, they don't look at you like, ah, this guy must be good. Like, they're kind of expecting the opposite. So I kind of like, you know, playing that role.
And I believe you kind of like coach and help out some guys. Is that one guy you coach? I think he got drafted in the first round this year. Chase Petty. Is that a guy you've coached?
Yeah, that's my guy. Yeah. He's been training with us since he was in like eighth grade. Yeah. He was a
holy shit
this year. Yeah.
So it just makes you think, man, if I would have been training with you, I mean, maybe I wouldn't have went to school in Nebraska. Like, maybe I'd be at like mid-major D1 right now. So it's just, you hate to see it. So was Chase Petty one of those guys that's like tall as fuck, who just throws absolute fuzz, or what's the deal with that guy?
No, he's actually, so he's probably 6'1", you know, sinker ball, 100-mile-an-hour righty. Like, you know, you look at him kind of the same way. It's like, not like, oh, this guy throws gas. Like, I mean, obviously he's a freak, but you know, build wise, he's, you know, pretty standard, 6'6", you know, probably, you know, 195. But yeah, he's you talk about electric, he's electric.
Yeah, he looks like an electric dude. Maybe a future guest of the show, but I mean, he's a first rounder.
You definitely, I mean, if you saw when he got drafted and he was kind of, you know, flirting with the lady that was interviewing him, he'd be a guy.
I love him. I'm looking at him. He's a man rocket, like, good looking dude. So he's going to be pulling, and he has the verified sticker beside him too. And he's a first rounder. I mean,
just bought a Porsche the other day too.
Oh my God. You're kidding me. He has a Porsche.
Yeah.
That's show. You got to tip your cap, because when a guy like that, some guys just have it all. And I say this all the time on the show, I don't have it all, but some guys have it all where it's like, they're good looking. They're first rounders. He probably signed for like 3-4 mil. You got to tip your cap to those guys, and he's verified. I mean, I just couldn't imagine. His DMs are probably absolutely flooded. Like, you got to tip your cap to that, right?
He's a dude, yeah. Yeah, you would love him.
Dude, what a legend. I mean, good for him. But, and then, are guys looking at you that you coach now are just kids, and they're like, holy shit, like, that's our coach right there, has a 267 in AAA. Like, are kids reaching out to you saying, man, I can't believe this shit's happening, or even their parents and all that kind of stuff? Like, do you have a fan club that we need to know about?
I guess so, a little bit. I mean, the team that I coached is all like high school seniors that are committed to D1 schools, and like, I've been coaching them for 3 years, and those guys are always like, they'll come to the games and you know, buy the jersey and like scream and yell at me and tell me I suck from the stands. So that's pretty awesome. But yeah, I mean, the facility we have, you know, all just dudes from our area, like small town South Jersey. So they're all like, I mean, they're constantly hyped up, and they're also all Phillies fans, which makes it even cooler.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And what's the deal here? I mean, so I just read on Twitter, I believe your nickname's the Oil Man. Is that true? What's the deal with that? I need to know, because that's actually an electric nickname. We need to make sure it's the Oil Man, which is a picture of you, and that's electric.
In high school, we had like 4 mics on our team, and our coach, you know, his name was Bob Soiker. He was always, you know, trying to find nicknames for people. And my dad, the family business is Ken Adams Oil. So it's like an oil company. And they just called me Mikey Oil from there. And then from there, almost at college, everyone calls me Oil. The Phillies is like the only place where they don't know about it. They don't call me Oil, but everyone calls me Oil pretty much.
And I have a resolution to that, though. So if you want the Phillies to start calling you the Oil Man, you just got to start referring to yourself in the third person as the Oil Man. Yeah. Like, the Oil Man's coming in tonight and he's throwing gas. Like, that's – you got to start referring to yourself. And I'm going to clip this. The Phillies, teammates of Adams, Mike Adams, start referring to him as the Oil Man, because that might be the best nickname in baseball. Like, that is absolutely –
I'm sure it'll stick soon. I mean, I know on Instagram, like, people just comment Oil, and the facility we have, the team, we're called the Oilers. So it's just everyone constantly has something to do with Oil. So I'm sure it'll come around at some point.
And I just got to give you thoughts and prayers for your debut, because you're going to be playing for free. Like, with all the fans that you have, or just like being from Philly and just are being like being growing up Phillies fans and close to there. And Luplo says this all the time when he plays in California, he like against the Angels, he said he's playing for free because of all the tickets he's buying. Mm-hmm. I just got to tip my cap to you, because you might actually be in debt.
I'm sure. I mean, that'll be probably one of the craziest things ever, just because I know, you know, some of my friends are absolute idiots, and like, they go to the games now already, so I'm sure that'll be pretty cool.
I'll be there. I mean, I got experience. I've never been to actually Citizens Bank, so I got to be there. Well, I'll figure it out. I'll be the first. Yeah,
you got to experience like some true Philly fan. It's one of a kind.
And I said it a couple weeks ago. I was at Kevin Smith's debut in Toronto, and I was with his family. I'm obsessed with debuts now. Like, I'm going to try to go to every single guest's debut. That's just my thing. And you saw yesterday, actually, with your agent, Matthew Gaeta, who's a noted psychopath, who I say all the time on the podcast, my guy.
Yeah, he loves the debut.
He loves the debut. And the thing that you got to tip your cap for, he's the loudest. Like, I was watching the game because, obviously, I was, like, I'm kind of intrigued with Junk, Jansen mm-hmm. Junk. So I was like, I'll watch this guy's debut throwing fuzz, and you just hear attaboy in the background. And who is it? Of course, it's fucking Matthew Gaeta screaming. You can hear him on TV.
Debuts are pretty cool. I went to my buddy's debut. He debuted for the Padres, and he debuted in Milwaukee. And like, it was one of the coolest things ever, like having, you know, 30 people from like small town Brigantine, New Jersey, just watching him pitch in the bigs on an away game too. It was pretty cool. There was no one rooting for him in the whole stadium other than us. So that was kind of cool. And by the way, I'm glad Kevin Smith got caught up, because he's been torching everyone for months now.
That's my guy, dude.
I don't know why it took him that long to get up there, but that is, I'm happy for him.
Well, you got to think, right? I mean, obviously with the Jays, they're a wagon. They're the best infield in baseball, if you think about it. I mean, obviously the third base, that third base spot's open for him, or Espinal, or even Valera. But I mean, it just, they didn't have a spot for him until a couple tough injuries, stuff like that. But I think he's going to stay up there, man. He's a freak. So you actually faced Kevin? Like, you faced him a couple times?
Yeah, I've faced him. I mean, we played Buffalo maybe 3 out of the first 5 weeks that I was here. So I've faced him probably 4 or 5.
What's he lifetime against you? Be honest. What's he lifetime?
He's over. But there's a couple times where I just, you know, walked him, because I'm like, I'm not letting this dude put one over the scoreboard. he's barreled a ball for an out. I think he struck out, grounded out, and popped out maybe. He's like maybe 0-3 or 0-4. But.
And people don't realize this, because Jays fans Jays fans are like, coming at Kevin Smith on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. He's had 25 big league at bats. Like, let the dude settle in. Jesus Christ, dude! In AAA, he's the MVP there. No, is that would you make that argument?
I mean, we were talking when he got called up. You know, we're playing the Mets this week, and they were like, yeah, you guys see Kevin Smith got caught up. We're like, yeah, thank God. They're like, yeah, thank God Kevin Smith can't destroy us anymore. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, like, everyone knows who he is. He's one of the toughest outs, you know, by far. And I mean, 25 at bats in the big, especially when it's like, if he's not starting and he's coming off the bench, like, pinch hit ABs in the bigs, you know, in your first couple games, or, you know.
Well, dude, and the thing is that it's like, it's crazy, because his first, like, I think 4 out of his first like 8 ABs, he literally faced Jose Cienierto or whatever the fuck his name is, the Tigers closer, that throws 101 from the left side sinkers. Like, you put any hitter there, they're going to go 0-4. Like, majority of the guys, it's impossible.
100%.
It's like, just fans are the worst, and you're going to see it in Philly, man. I mean, Bryce Harper, obviously, you know it. When he went, like, I believe he was struggling a little bit, legit getting booed.
Yeah.
Like, don't give a shit.
They don't at all. And it's like, even guys that they want to do really well, like, first time you make a mistake, you give up a run, like, they'll boo you.
Like, dude, Alec Bohm. I mean, this guy's, like, public enemy number one there, and he's a freak. Like, he's disgusting.
Yeah. He shouldn't be. Yeah, it's They are really hot and cold. And it's,
and who's one guy on your team right now that you think's going to be like a legit superstar for the Phillies? Like, I got obviously Alec Bohm's there. I believe he's a AAA with you right now. Is that correct?
Yeah. Bohm's there now. But I mean, I still think that it's Moniak. I mean, if I'm the Phillies, I'm giving him, you know, next year, I'm giving him consistent ABs, you know, every month to start the season. You know, he's good enough where he's going to be able to put a good year together. I mean, it doesn't really make sense for them not to do that. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a really good big league player. If they, you know, every time they call him up, he just kind of like is the extra guy. So he doesn't get a start here and there because they're, I mean, obviously their outfield's good right now, but I think he's definitely the guy.
So have you ever got like, have there been any instance where you thought you were going to get the call up to the show this year? Because Kevin, like, he used to call me every once in a while when he'd be like, man, I think it's going to happen today. Like, they keep being weird to me, talking to me. They don't like, they keep telling me to just stay ready, all that kind of stuff. Have you got close to that call happening yet?
I'm not really sure. I mean, there was instances where, you know, they've had a lot of injuries and a lot of guys have gone down, and like, I was the guy that day who hadn't pitched in 2 days kind of deal and was like, you know, maybe. And obviously I feel like people convince me I'm going to be the guy more than I really think I'm going to be the guy sometimes. But I mean, maybe there was some talks that I was involved in at some point, but it's kind of, I mean, obviously I think they're really going with guys who have experience, which I have the least amount of experience of all time. So that's always like, you know, the hump to get over, but hopefully at some point, you know, I'm that guy.
And another guy that's like, that lives where that's from around where you are is another friend of the show, a legend of the podcast, Shea Spitzbarth. I mean, this guy, what's the deal, by the way? I should have asked him about this. What's the deal with the turtlenecks? Like, why does he wear that on the bar?
I don't know. Shea and I were actually roommates in the Cape Cod League, like a couple years back in college. Shea's a unique dude. He's a man. He comes down to our facility sometimes and throws live. And we've gone out together a couple of times. But Shea's a man. I'm so excited that he got caught up this year because he's such a good dude. He was on the show too.
Yeah, he was on the show too. Did you
understand what he was saying?
No, his voice, and I told him, I said, like, man, when I think of New York, like, if I close my eyes right now, I'd feel like I was on the set of, like, Goodfellas. Like, just with the way he's talking and shit, his accent is so thick. Like, it's the thickest New York accent, like, or New Jersey accent ever.
Yeah, he's super stand out. It's crazy. Yeah, he's the man. He's such a good dude.
I love that guy, man. He's such a lad. I'm happy he's on a different team now because that Dodgers system
carving,
is insane.
He's carving the Dodgers are stacked up. Yeah, he's carving this year. I mean, he's earned it. So
yeah, no, good for him, man. I don't understand the whole turtleneck thing. You gotta tip your cap to that. Maybe he's superstitious. Hey,
it's probably something that, you know, he did one day, threw well, and just stuck with it.
It's incredible, man. And so this year, obviously, you've kind of embraced the role as like the closer, like that big situation guy coming out of the pen. I mean, what's your pregame routine going? You packing a dip, like you do ripping smelling salts? Like, what's the deal here? Because every closer has their different routine. Like Jordan Romano on the Jays does this weird strut to the mound when he's walking. What's yours?
Dude, I really don't have anything too crazy. I mean, I was a guy that I think I'm – If I'm never not excited, if I have a problem out there, it's like I'm too hyped up. So I really don't have anything too crazy. You know, I'm a big, like, I throw 3 warm-up pitches and I'm ready to go. Like, I don't like to really throw in the bullpen that much. Like, I just throw, you know, just because I'm waiting to go in. But, like, I really like to not throw. Like, maybe two or three fastballs. I don't care if it, you know, bounces it halfway or hits halfway up the backstop. Like, that's kind of what I like to do. Keep it simple, let some rip, and then just go out there. But that's kind of what I've been doing, and it's kind of been
working. What's the walkout song? What do you play? Do you guys have them?
They actually pick my walkout song. It's a song you would know. I can't remember what it is right now.
Okay, that's
fine. I'm trying to think. It's a pretty generic. It's a good one though.
Does it get the people going? Like, is the crowd getting pumped?
Yeah,
it's
definitely like a walk up that everyone would know. You would know what song it is too. Once
I say you put your balls on the table, and when you make the show, you just do Enter Sandman. Like, just obviously throw a shot at Mariano Rivera.
That would be.
Have you hit 100 yet?
Balls right there.
Have you hit 100 yet? Are you close to it?
I've hit, it says I've hit 100. I think I've hit 99, but mostly like 98.
We'll say 100 though, because obviously the minor league stadium radars are just
stadium guns are horrible. There's literally one that's worth. Like some of the times, it says guys throw like 83, and
that's such a jab.
I don't know why we can't figure that out. That's like the worst thing of all time.
Too. Could you like and you got to think, right? I mean, fans already have an excuse to chirp guys. Could you imagine throwing 83? The fans would just have an absolute field day on you.
Every fan is like, oh, this guy throws 83. I can do that. It literally happens all the time. And they're really throwing 95. And then they get the hit. They're like, oh, this guy throws 83. That's why. Like some of my buddies, when the first time I pitched up here, like, dude, 91? Like, that's not even fast. And I'm like, I can't even do it the next one. But it's crazy because no stadiums can get it right.
It's insane. It's that and the thing for the Phillies, and I know I see it with Bryson and Redding, the cameraman needs to be put in prison. I mean, I don't know what's going on. When Bryson, it's a home run. I follow his family friends of mine. So I see it, and it's like the cameraman's looking at the foul pole, the ball's in left center or right. It's insane to me. So you kind of got a good being a pitcher because all you have to do is just kind of show them out.
They just keep it behind you. In Lakewood, it was even in Lakewood, the gun was down maybe 15 miles an hour. Like if you
15?
Threw one, yeah, if you threw one at like 85, we're like, dude, that's gas. Fastballs in the 70s, we're like, this is
the bad. 85 has like the fire emoji on the scoreboard. Yeah. It's just like this guy's throwing 100. Yeah, that just be a little bit better. And has Gata came to a couple of your appearances this year? I think he has, right?
Gata's been out once or twice, I think, early on in the year. But he's traveling all over the place right now.
The guy doesn't have does he have a house?
I don't know where he lives. I don't know what he does. He's anywhere at all times. He's putting the miles on it this year.
Bro, I mean, he has to get air miles, right? I mean, this guy, I think he was he's in obviously LA this weekend. And then I think he was in Baltimore last week for that Watkins kid. And then
LA the week before that, and I know we had a guy in our agency that was a Rangers debut for the Rangers. You know, it was crazy.
It's insane. But
Seattle at 1.2.
Yeah, that agency you guys have, I mean, it's just a bunch of absolute grinders. I believe Spencer Watkins was worked at like a, I don't know if that's him. He worked at like an oil place. I don't know if that's Peacock. But yeah. Spencer Watkins was going to be a high school coach.
Yeah,
this guy's up, I think, something along those lines. Yeah, it's insane. I mean, that whole organization, I don't think anyone in your organization, I guess Jansen Junk is like a really, really highly like by MLB pipeline, like a massive prospect, but they just somehow find a way to get there and stay in the show. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. There's so many guys too that I talked to Gata about that is like, he's like, dude, we got this guy, you know, this guy in AAA who's just dicing like a zero ERA who's not getting called up. And it's like, there's like five guys who are like, in AAA just grinding that or like have stupid numbers. Like I know that, like Hobie Harris is with you guys, like he's having a good year, and another guy with the Cubs, and I'm like, dude, where do you find these guys? Like I don't know, man.
It's crazy to me. It's crazy, dude. Your agency is actually like, there's gonna be a movie made after it. It's absolutely
he wants one to be so bad too.
Yeah, no, and I guarantee you, knowing Gata, is gonna like cast like Ryan Reynolds to play. Oh, and it's gonna be just Ryan Reynolds. It's incredible. And you gotta tip your cap. I don't know if Gata does. You gotta tip your cap and respect the fact that he just wears suits no matter what the temperature. literally 104 and he's wearing a suit.
I know, it's crazy. and the crazy thing is it's literally a one-man show. Like he's doing all the social media. He's like getting gear for guys. He's showing up at their debut. He's signing guys. He does it all. I don't know how he does it, honestly.
He does it all.
He's got cell phones, which is part of the reason. But it's
there's crazy. No social media guy.
No,
it's him.
It's straight him. Yeah.
Wow. And he clips those videos and makes all that shit himself and the Photoshop edits. That's insane.
Crazy. Yeah. I don't know how he has that much time in the day, honestly.
Well, I mean, it definitely helps his pockets. I mean, then it's just 100% profit for him. So you got to tip your cap.
Yeah. Hey. Got to keep it that way.
And going into, I mean, is your team buzzed? Like, what's your team's record? Are you guys like in a playoff hunt or what's the deal there?
There's not even playoffs this year, which kind of sucks, but we might be maybe 10 games under 500. I'm not even sure. Dude, this is – it's such a long season, you know, especially this being the first year, like I didn't play a short season at all. Like it's a grind, especially the last month, and it being no playoffs, like they expanded the season 2 extra weeks. So we go to October 3rd now. But we've been playing really, really good lately.
You guys, it definitely helps having Alec Bohm up there. Yeah. He's a guy's a freak. So it definitely, he's a massive prospect, but so who's the manager now? Like who's your AAA manager?
Gary Jones is the manager. Yeah. He's I'm pretty sure he's, you know, one of the most winningest AAA managers.
I didn't know who it was. I know Bryson in AA has, I don't remember his name.
It's Sean Williams.
Yeah. Okay. No, and your guys' jerseys are absolutely electric too. I mean, you guys have maybe the best jersey in AAA. It seems like you guys are like the Oregon Ducks of AAA baseball.
There are so many jerseys. We had a denim night last night. We were literally wearing jean jacket jerseys, which is
that's a power move.
Yeah,
and that's an absolute power move.
Friday we were the Iron Wieners, which was like a huge hit. we have you know some sort of promotion going on like twice a week. It's pretty cool.
So what are the fans like? I mean, have you been getting roasted? Like, I mean, have you been hearing fan chirps or not from like the Phillies fans or anything like that? Like, what would you say is like the funniest chirp you've heard so far this year at you or at your teammates or anything like that?
Oh man. I mean, since I've been here, you know, the only place we've gone on the road is Rochester. And there hasn't been anything too crazy there. I'm trying to think of like, I haven't really had anything good. I mean, there's a couple of times where I've gone in and like, you know, I've given up a first pitch hit and they're like, and they're just screaming and yelling at you, like, you know, telling me that I'm not supposed to let them hit it. Like, I don't really know that. just like basic stuff. And it's like, honestly, the worst part is like when fans like scream and yell at you down in the bullpen, like, can we have a ball? Like, we came all this way, you know, for a ball. And they're just screaming and yelling at you. Like, one, they're not our balls. And two, like when you're literally warming up to go in the game, the kid's like, can I have that ball? And like, I'm actually throwing it, like warming up to about the pitch. That's like the crazy.
Yeah, that's aggravating. And yeah. I've actually heard, like, I don't know if it's like that where you are, but I've heard that like kids are just ruthless now. Like they don't even say please, they're just like, give me a ball.
They will literally scream at you. It's crazy. Like, can I have the ball? Like, I need that. And it's like, you're gonna take this ball and you're gonna go home and your dog's gonna chew on it and you're not gonna do anything with it.
Yeah, it's just like foul ball guy. I hate foul ball guy. He's the biggest coward on the planet.
We all say that. We're out in the bullpen that's in like left center and they're like, can we have a ball? We're like, yeah, we get a foul ball. And they're like, no foul balls come out here. I'm like, exactly.
Yeah. We don't even get to give the balls away. And when you're in high A, I mean, we gotta talk about this. What's like one area you visited where it's like, where the fuck am I right now?
Oh man. Oh, I'm trying to think of the places that we went to. I mean, well, Hudson Valley, which is the Yankees high A, that is in the absolute middle of nowhere. Like the locker rooms are so small. you're like, one, we're coming up here and they throw gas and can hit. Like they destroyed us. You know, every Yankees team basically, you know, is a challenge. And then you're in the middle of Hudson Valley, like playing a doubleheader on a turf field. It's like 110 degrees in the middle of like New York. That was probably the toughest place to play so far, I think.
Yeah. No, well, I heard the Yankees are just like full of these Dominican kids that throw like 105 and just have like guys that run like 6'2", 60s.
Yeah, guys that are hitting ball, like they take BP and they're going over the scoreboard. And like they had a starter that we faced that was like 101.
Oh my God.
Into the fifth inning, and like it's crazy. A couple got like they had a guy that we faced in high A that got traded to the Angels that debuted. His name's like Elvis Paguero, something along those lines. And he's already like in the big leagues. They just have him sitting in high A because their organization just has so much talent.
Yeah. No, that's insane. So a couple more things. So have you played out that debut in your head? Like even, cause obviously growing up being from Philadelphia and stuff like that. And you could be honest here. When you see that jersey for the first time, is there going to be a little bit of tears maybe? Like be honest.
I mean, there definitely could be. I mean, it's definitely something that I think is going to be super, super surreal. I remember the first time, like when I got to spring training and just saw a jersey, you know, a Philly jersey with your name on it. It was pretty cool. I mean, I can't even like, I mean, I feel like for everyone else there, like it was their, you know, fourth, fifth spring training. I'm like, damn, I can't believe I have a jersey, you know, with my name on it, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, the debut, I mean, obviously my, like, just, you know how people are, like, they're kind of just like, dude, when are you getting caught up? When are you getting caught up? I'm like, I have no idea. But it's just, like, the people that I can imagine will be there will be crazy. Just because, you know, everyone from the area is a Phillies fan, like, every single person. Like, it's a super, you know, diehard Philly like area. Like South Jersey is, you know, 40 minutes from Philly. So we're closer to Philly than we are New York or basically any other team. So I'd imagine it'll be, I'm sure my friends will be, you know, chirping me before I even go in the game, which would be fun.
Yeah, you kind of have that. And that's what I like about your area. And like, like I said, we've had a pretty good amount of guys from your area. You guys kind of have that, like, it's so close to like just the way you guys act. It's so close to what we act like here in Toronto and like Mississauga in Canada. It's like very chirpy. Like nothing's really offside, what you say to your buddies. No. Just like it's, you guys get after it. You guys can booze, all that kind of stuff.
If you're not making fun of each other, you don't really like
it. It's just, yeah, it's like that hockey mentality, right?
Friends that I can like, you know, make fun of and that can make fun of me back.
Yeah. It's like that hockey mentality. Like that's how I kind of compare it to. Cause I mean, you guys obviously like hockey's very, very big where you guys are from. A lot of freak athlete hockey players from there. So it's just, that's like when I think, that's why I get along so well with like the New York, New Jersey guys. It's because you guys are just like literally the exact same as how my
friends are. Northeast, like pissed off because it's cold and like you being friends with someone is like low key just being mean to them all the time.
Yeah, so just hating each other.
Kind of Northeast like character.
True. That's exactly what it is. But the last thing I want to call, the last thing that I'm asking you of here is when you make that debut, obviously you're gonna have to have it send a lot of text messages. But I say this to all the prospects on that come on this show. I'm going to need to know maybe top five. I need to be that top five guy that finds out. Maybe just send me the Drake gift saying, let's go, and I'll be there. Because Philly's only 6 hours from me. So like I said, I'll hop on the first thing there. Hopefully the border will be open. It's not open right now. But hopefully by that time, the border is open, and I'll be there. Maybe me and Gata. You know what? I'm going to show up in a suit.
Gata would be a hell of a team. I think you need to, you know, hit him up about, you know, maybe joining the show and helping him out with some stuff.
Dude, and I'll say this, and Gata, clip this, because I'm never going to post this on Instagram, put on your story. When Mikey here makes his debut, I will be there. I'm going to wear a suit. Me and you are going to be wearing suits at the debut, 100%. No matter what the temperature is. I might be just uncomfortably hot. I will wear a suit with you, Gata. I don't want you to be the only guy there wearing a suit. Me and you are going to be wearing suits at the debut. What we're going
to
do.
That would be awesome. Now we have to make sure that's a lot.
We'll get obviously roasted. As you can see, like, I'm a high energy. Like, I don't know if you saw the video of me at the Jays game on Friday, the craziest game that maybe ever happened of all time. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to die. Like, that was, I mean, that's just what I do. So I'll be the same thing. I'm the same thing at all the guys' debuts. But anyways, man,
keep right in.
Keep doing your thing, man. Obviously 267. So that's just absolutely absurd. I mean, actually that's 100 points higher than my batting average in JUCO. So that's just credit to you. That's just unbelievably credit to you. But it was a pleasure to have you on, man. Like I said, I love having these Northeast guys, grimy, fucking blue-collared, steel-toe boots, hard hat guys on the pod. But it was special, man. And I can't wait to see that debut because you might blow up Twitter.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, anytime. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.